Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live, on the air, and online right now, so you can be a part of the broadcast. If you have a question or need direction for the troublesome issues of real life, we invite you to call now. The number, 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC. Or the full number, 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. This is Thanksgiving week.
It's an awfully
good time for us to step back and to give thanks for all the wonderful blessings that we have in Christ Jesus. I tweeted today one of my favorite passages in the Word of God on Thanksgiving. Ask for others to post their favorite passages, and we want you to come online with us today on this broadcast and to share with us your favorite passage in the Word of God that talks about thankfulness. You know, whenever the grace of God is delivered, whenever somebody receives the grace of God, it ignites an explosion of thankfulness in the human heart. That's just the way it works. And that thankfulness is evidence of faith in many ways, it's the substance of faith. If your heart isn't saying thank you, maybe it's because you've never truly received what Christ has given you in his death, burial, and resurrection. So here's my favorite passage. It is Hebrews 13:15. Through him, then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge or give thanks to him. And I think, you know, you read the entire book of Hebrews, you see the superiority of Christ in every aspect, the fact that his death took away sin once and for all, the fact that he's alive, that we get to know him personally, grow in this relationship, that we have the security that we all long for. You can't help but sing the praises of the one who did that for us. And so this is my favorite passage on thankfulness. Andrew Farley is with us today. So, Andrew, what is one of your favorite passages on thankfulness in the Word of God?
Yeah, Bob, you know, I think of Basic Gospel and the privilege we have of sharing this message with people. And, you know, that gets me to 2 Corinthians 4, verse 15. It says, all this is for your benefit so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. And what I love about that is that, you know, when grace hits people, they can't help but be thankful. And so we have a privilege, whether we're, you know, walking down the street or hanging out in a coffee shop or talking on the radio or just wherever we are and whoever we are in the Lord, being ourselves, we have an opportunity to exude the grace of God, to transmit the grace of God, because we are receivers of the grace of God. And as more and more people receive this grace, then that causes thanksgiving to overflow, it says, to the glory of God. So much to be thankful for in this message of God's grace. And wow, what a privilege it is just to talk about it.
Yes, indeed. Richard, what's one of your favorite passages on thankfulness?
Well, rather than a passage that actually uses the word thankful, I just cannot get away from the times in Revelation 22 when Jesus says, I'm coming quickly. That causes me to be thankful because he's victorious.
Yes.
Our future is absolutely guaranteed because of who he is and what he has done and what he is about to do. How can I not be thankful in the midst of whatever else is going on? Because I do tend to take a look at the world around me and get down in the mouth. They don't call me Eeyore for nothing. but a guaranteed future gets my eyes off the problem and puts them where they belong, and that's on Jesus.
Absolutely. So grace is the word charis in Greek. Thankfulness is the Greek word Eucharist. Mm-hmm. We know it as the Lord's Supper if you're in the Catholic tradition, but it has the nature of thankfulness. That's what it's conveying there. So whenever grace is given and grace is received, then we see this thankfulness growing in a human heart. As I said, the grace of God really does ignite an explosion of thankfulness in the human heart. And we want to say thank you to all of those who support Basic Gospel,
yes,
who are interested in seeing this grace of God reach as many people as possible. And, you know, we long for those explosions of thankfulness, not because of anything that we've done, but because people have been connected to the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. They've learned of their new life in Christ. They've learned that their sins are totally forgiven. They've learned that they have a brand new identity. They're new creatures in Christ, that God's presence is with them in the person of the Holy Spirit, with the promise never to leave them nor to forsake them. They have the promise of victory in their life as far as living by faith and just seeing the fruit of His life be expressed through them. That's the totality of the grace of God. And as people really start to understand that, that thankfulness begins to grow and grow and grow and grow. And we're so excited when we see people respond to the grace of God with that attitude of thankfulness. Why? Because faith always says, thank you. Well, this is Basic Gospel. Richard Pfeiffer is here. Andrew Farley is here. I'm Bob Christopher. We welcome your call as well. If you have a verse that you want to share on today's broadcast, a verse about thankfulness that is meaningful to you, we invite your call right now, 844-322-2742. You know, Andrew and Richard, there's a lot of passages in the Word of God. You're going along, you're feeling pretty good about your relationship with Christ, and then you read, for example, Hebrews 6, 4 through 6, or Hebrews 10, 26, or 1 John 3, 7, and that thankfulness seems to disappear. You're wondering, am I saved? Have I, you know, gone beyond the reach of God's love and forgiveness? What did these passages mean? So we've put together a wonderful resource that we want to put in your hands. It's called Hard Passages. It's two CDs, and we look at 20 of the most confusing passages in the Word of God. But when seen through the lens of God's grace, the finished work of Jesus Christ, these passages do find their proper place, and you see how they fit into this puzzle. Instead of being confused, you're encouraged. Instead of those passages fueling doubt, they actually bring about a deep sense of assurance.
Yes.
So we want to put this resource into your hands. It's called Hard Passages. It's available for a gift to Basic Gospel this month. And you can make a contribution by going to our website, basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Simply click on the donate button and follow all the instructions. And as you work through the form, be sure and check the box requesting your copy of Hard Passages. We'll get it to you as quickly as we can. If you would prefer to call rather than going to your computer or your mobile app, call this number right now, 844-322-2742. Billy is on the other end of the line just waiting to talk to you. And if you've never talked to Billy, it will be one of the pleasures in your life. She is one of the kindest people. And so pick up the phone right now. Call 844-322-2742. Well, if you have a question that you would like to pose on today's broadcast, a verse on thankfulness that you would like to share with us, now's the time to call as well, 844-322-2742. Well, we're going to go to a call that came in over the weekend from Marcy, and I think this is a great call to get us started on today's broadcast.
Hi, my name is Margie. I'm from Cudahy, Wisconsin. I don't really have a question. I just have been listening to the last few nights of Basic Gospel, and I believe it was Thursday. I wrote down that I will believe God and I will not believe the lie. What you and Richard said, Bob, is just, it's just crystal clear to me that I have been questioning like you have maybe several hundred times because I did a sin or something. Made it so clear to me. I want to thank you so much for your teaching, for your faithfulness to the Word. I love you guys. Thank you. God bless. Bye.
Well, Margie, we thank you for that call.
Yes.
And last week we talked about eternal security. We talked about salvation. And we had an email question. Somebody had said, I just prayed to receive Christ hundreds and hundreds of times, and I just feel like it hasn't taken, that I've never been born again. Help, what do I do? And so we had the privilege that day of working through the gospel message and then encouraging anyone who'd never come to Christ to receive Christ, others that have doubted their eternal security, to drive the stake that day. And then we offered our CD resource called Drive the Stake, and a number of people called in to receive that, to get a copy of that, and we're very grateful for that. But Margie, we're grateful that you were listening that day, and those words struck a chord in your heart, and you finally said, I'm from this day forward, I'm going to thank God for what he's done for me in Christ Jesus. That's the key, isn't it, guys? It's not that those questions might not come back into our minds. It's when we get those questions, being able to say, Lord, I trusted you. I know that you've made me alive. I've known that you've taken away my sins. And in spite of this weird question that's racing through my mind, I'm going to say thank you. That's the key, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, you think about salvation, and it really is a knowing. You know, I write you these things so that you may know that you have eternal life. Bob, that's not an emotion. It's not a feeling. Our feelings are up, down, and all around. It's a roller coaster that we experience in the soul. And so this is a knowing. And, you know, that's what Jesus provides. So you talk about driving the stake. You know, that's establishing the simple fact that, you know, I believe Jesus Christ died for my sins, that he rose from the dead to offer me new life, and I want that new life. And so I'm opening the door of my life, and Jesus Christ, I'm asking you to come in. And, you know, his promise that we can know, not necessarily feel, but know, his promise is that if he's standing at the door and knocking, which he is, on every human heart, he's standing and knocking. Well, if we open the door, he promises that we can know that he has come in to live with us and that he'll never leave us. So it is a knowing. It's coming to a place of knowing. It's not a feeling. And so if you're a believer out there listening right now, and you know, you feel different things. You know, Monday, you feel close to God. Tuesday, you're feeling semi-close. Wednesday, you're not feeling so close. And by next Sunday, you know, the preacher preaches a tough sermon, and we're feeling nowhere near close. So, you know, feelings go up and down, and we hear all kinds of mixed messages out there. And that's why it can't be about a feeling. It's about a knowing. And it is about the promise that God gave us, that he would come to live in us and with us forever, never leaving us. That's where we drive the stake, right into the promises that he gave us.
Absolutely. And as we've talked about time and time again, you know, if you have a bad thought, if you doubt, if you commit a sin, you know, give in to the desires of the flesh, none of that changes what Christ has already accomplished for us. None of that changes the fact that he died to take away all sin, not just that sin, but all of our sins. Nothing changes the fact that he was buried, that he put an end to the law, put an end to that old way of life. Nothing changes the fact that Jesus was raised from the dead. He's alive. And guess where he's living? He's living in you. He was living in you when you committed that sin. It didn't take him by surprise, and it's not going to offend him where he's just going to turn his back on you or force you to do something to get him to turn back around to look at you. No, he's going to be active in your life. You can count on that, and his presence is another sign of his incredible grace for you. So we just have to keep going back to what is true, and that's where we drive the stake into those promises, and that's what gives us that heart that says thank you, even in the midst of the doubts that we may be feeling, even in the midst of those feelings of condemnation and fear, even in the midst of those things, we can still say thank you. And that thank you will start moving us forward, and we will see those other things start to diminish. So, Margie, we're so grateful for you, yes. And we pray that this assurance will just continue to grow and will just flood all the different aspects of your mind, your thinking, your feelings, and that confidence in Him will continue to be seen in every day of your walk with Jesus Christ. So thank you for your call today. Well, we're going to go down to Thorndale and talk with Clay. Clay, you've got a passage for us today, my friend.
Yes, Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday. It's one that hadn't taken hold of yet, but I like it. I like 1 Thessalonians 5:18. It says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." You know, a lot of believers and stuff, this friend of mine was down and everything, and I said, "Well, can I pray with you and agree with you?" And he said, "Well, I just want God's will to be done in my life." I said, "Well, I can tell you what God's will is. His will is for in all things give thanks, for this is His will for you concerning Christ Jesus." He said, "You don't understand. The doctors have given me less than 6 months to live." I said, "Well, then good. We can give Him thanks that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life and that you have eternal life." And so it's just like Richard was saying, no matter what the circumstances is, if we begin to thank God for His great and precious promises concerning us as believers, it turns it towards Christ, and it gives us that hope.
Yes, it does. Clay, great words, and another one of those great verses in the Word of God, "Give thanks in all things, for this is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus." Sometimes that's difficult for us to do until we remember Jesus, we put our eyes back on Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I always thought back in the dark days that you were supposed to be thankful for everything. It doesn't say that. It said in everything.
Yes.
Jesus is greater than our circumstances.
Yeah, because His love stands pure for us in all circumstances. Well, let's go and hear from Peggy, who has a question for us today on evil thoughts.
Hi, my name is Peggy. And I listen to you every afternoon after I get off of work. And I want y'all to know that y'all are such a blessing and encouraging just to be able to listen, you know, because I got saved on March the 15th, 1990. And, you know, but still yet there's always been times that the devil's there saying, you know, you're not saved and this, that, and another. But the only thing I can do is, you know, if I can go back to His Word, and God tells me that, you know, in Romans 10:13, that "for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." It's hard sometimes because, you know, you want to live that pleasing life to the Lord. But, you know, it seems like you fight every day. You know, your mind is the devil's playground, and that's where he attacks us that majority of the time. You know, you want to live pleasing, you know, but it seems like every time you turn around, you know, you got evil thoughts that wants to come to your mind. It's just like, it's terrible. And, sometimes you think, oh, how do you get rid of it, something like this? Thank you.
It's a good question, and I think it's a question that we all want an answer to, because that's just being human, isn't it? We're all going to have evil thoughts. We're all going to have fleshly desires. How do we live by faith in the midst of that? And I think that's what Peggy really wants to know, isn't it?
Yeah, well, first, I think, you know, we need to know it's not unusual to be accused. Revelation 12 tells us that there's an accuser and that he accuses us day and night. So there's nothing unusual about getting these thoughts. Some people panic, you know, just about having them. But having them, my goodness, Jesus was tempted. Jesus was spoken to by the enemy. So just the presence of these thoughts doesn't mean that you've done something wrong or that you're unusual or that you're different or that you're weird. So the enemy would have us believe all that and panic. And then when we panic, you know, we start seeing ourselves differently and trying to react in the midst of panic. And the reality is, you know, every single one of us is going to get these sort of thoughts. So, you know, what helps me, guys, is just to, first of all, remember where this is coming from. And, you know, your identity in Christ means that this is not coming from your heart. This is not coming from your new spirit. Your new creation that you are is not generating this thought. This thought is coming from something that is not you. There's a power called sin, and it is happy to try to steal, kill, and destroy in your life, steal your peace away, kill your fun, kill your joy, destroy the stability that you have in Christ, trying to erode that foundation. So when we recognize the voice of the enemy, when we recognize the source of the thought, then we can continue with what Scripture says, hey, I'm dead to that thought. I don't have to be controlled by that. I'm dead to that thought, and God, I'm alive to you. I'm connected to you. So as 2 Corinthians 10 says, you know, we can take every thought captive and make it obedient to the gospel. What does this thought look like in comparison to the cross? What does this thought look like in light of the resurrection? So we're interpreting our entire thought life differently, guys. I mean, it's like looking at everything through a new grid of what did Jesus do for me? What did Jesus do to me in making me a new creation? And how does Jesus see me now? Okay, well, in light of those three, what is this thought saying? Is it a lie or is it the truth? Well, now it's obviously a lie, so it's coming from the power of sin, and I'm dead to sin. So I don't need to let this thought control me. I really can say no to it. It's all bark and no bite, so to speak. The enemy really can't touch me. He can tempt me. He can accuse me. He can hurl insults at me. But he cannot control me, because in Jesus Christ, I am free from that power. That power does not have dominion over us.
Yes, indeed. My youngest daughter, Mackenzie's dating a football player, and a lot of trash talking out there on a football field, especially between the cornerback safeties and the wide receivers. They go down the field just right next to each other, just jawing at each other, and it's awful stuff they're saying to one another. That's just the nature of trash talking. But if you're going to run your route as a receiver, you're going to have to do it with that trash talk coming at you. Mm-hmm. and you just have to stay focused on the fact that you've made this team. They're asking you to go run a route, go run it well, type of deal, and just ignore the trash talk. And that's what we basically have to come to as believers. We have to recognize that with sin, with the flesh, with the world, with Satan, we've got a bunch of trash talkers out there trying to convince us of things that aren't true. And we just have to recognize that and realize, if I'm going to learn to live by faith, it's not going to be absent of those things. It's going to be with those things hanging all around me, but recognizing that I have somebody greater who's alive living in me, who is going to bring truth to my mind, truth that will keep me moving forward. So we sure appreciate that call, Peggy. Let's go to Al, I think, who has a question on Bible translations.
Hello, guys. It's Al from BC here. I've got this Bible called the New World Translation of Holy Scriptures, and I got a King James version. The Holy Scriptures one is a new one, and I thought it would be easier to read compared to the King James version. But I'm finding a lot of things in this Holy Scripture Bible that doesn't compare to the King James Bible. There's a lot of, apostrophes and all this other stuff, words added, that don't compare with the King James. So I'm just kind of wondering which Bible here is telling me the truth. I don't know if you know anything about this New World Translation. Anyways, I'll leave it with you guys. Thanks very much. Bye.
Well, Andrew, what do you say about that? I know the World Translation is from the Jehovah's Witnesses. It's their translation, and so there's a lot of error there, isn't there?
Yeah, there's more than apostrophe as an issue. It's a total catastrophe. What I would say there is that, Jehovah's Witnesses have serious theological issues, and they really are not on board with the deity of Christ. The way they look at the Bible is very different. You could go on and on talking about Jehovah's Witnesses theology, and the bottom line is he should run for the hills. Pick any other sound-minded Bible translation, but don't pick one where they have twisted things to fit their agenda. It's really important that when we're looking at God's Word, we're able to easily glean the truth from it, because it's not just the Word of God.
We're out of time right there, Andrew. Got to stop you. We'll be back tomorrow for another live edition.